Harper Bliss, author of Lesbian Fiction, and I'm her missus. Thank you for listening to our podcast where we try to talk about our journey in writing and publishing.
But we usually get sidetracked by television or our cat.
Meow.
Welcome to Harper Bliss and her missus. Hello everyone, this is episode 9 of
Harper Bliss
and her missus, and we're recording this on Saturday, June 2nd, I think. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Well, you should know because June 2nd is very close to
my 40th birthday. That's on Thursday.
Finally, you can join the ranks of us old midlife people.
Cougars.
Who are over 40.
I know. But I'm trying to be positive about it. I'm going to do a big giveaway for my mailing list. So look out for an celebratory email from me on the 7th of June. I mean, I don't... Yeah, we'll see how celebratory it is.
Maybe you'll be wallowing in self-pity.
Probably will be, yes. I don't know. I'm having a bit of a hard time at my 40th birthday.
So if you want to give her some words of encouragement, you can always email her, right?
Yes, but only if, you know, it's like a very sweet email and like extreme encouragement. Otherwise, I wouldn't bother.
You see, this is how she's feeling. So, my God, I am dreading Thursday.
But this is my mother's fault. I just so clearly remember when my mother turned 40 and she said, okay, don't bother with anything. I'm not getting out of bed that day. And she didn't. I mean... So how am I supposed to feel now that I'm turning 40?
Well, you should be the opposite of that. You should jump out of bed and say, yay, I'm 40 today.
But why?
Because it's a great age.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah, you're 40 too. So
yeah, well, yes.
I cannot possibly contradict you.
No. Anyway, that is from that. We will talk about how everything went on the next podcast, I think.
Yes.
Yes. If you make it, is that what you...
Tomorrow never comes.
Enough with the drama.
Okay, so also we're trying video again, but I think maybe we should record as though, you know, there might not be video since we've had a bit of issues.
Yeah, we had on the last one, I think the video it only recorded about a minute and then it crashed. And yes, so...
We haven't been on camera in so long.
Yeah, and so last week there was no podcast because we were on
you
holiday.
You might have noticed.
Yes, we were away on holiday for a few days.
Yes.
We went to Normandy.
Yes.
Which was beautiful. We ate a lot of oysters and a lot of mussels. Oh. Insert joke here.
It was very nice.
Yes, and relaxing. We had walks on the beach and on the cliffs.
But we did also work. I mean, yes. It wasn't really a holiday, was it?
Yes, because what happened last week?
This came out.
And
Once
for those listening
Princess.
On the podcast, she is holding up a print copy of Once Upon a Princess, the book that you co-wrote with
Claire Lydon, and the cover is amazing.
Again, if you're on the podcast, you should go look for it.
It's
on
number
the
one on Amazon everywhere. Well, maybe not by the time this podcast goes out, but it's a huge hit.
Yes, it's been doing really, really well. So thank you to everyone who contributed to that.
Yes, thank you so much.
You know, 1 + 1 = more than 2, obviously, because this book has been doing really, really well.
Yes, indeed. And we are very pleased.
Yes, yes.
I mean, we did have a bit of a hiccup with that. We had an Amazon review saga.
But you weren't the only one. There was a generalized problem,
I
right?
I know. Amazon changed the rules again, and they, you know, did not communicate them. So a lot of reviews didn't go through and blah, blah, blah. But, you know.
But it was apparently more of a technical glitch or something.
I think so.
Yeah, it was because they restored them for everyone, I think. That's what I read when people were questioning in some Facebook groups, questioning other people who have connections at Amazon and, you know, like Mark Dawson. And I think he said it was more of some kind of bot technical glitch. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, it could have happened in the context of, you know, testing and applying new rules, or maybe they were working on their, you know, fraud prevention and review manipulation prevention. And, you know, they sometimes tend to take measures that affect many people who are not manipulating reviews and who are very honest about their reviews, but then they get caught up in some kind of measure by Amazon.
Typical Amazon thing.
So they use a very wide brush and, you know, everyone gets affected. But it's been restored now, so that's fine.
So you had benefit from going on Facebook?
Yes, I did. But you still haven't been on.
Oh, no, I'm never going on again.
So that's still happening as well?
Yes.
Anyway.
So, what else happened this week?
Well, we've kind of finished the first draft of the Gulf Romance, although I still have to write an epilogue, I think.
Yeah.
I will do
so
that on Monday.
So it's actually not done yet.
No, but your part is done. Your first draft is done.
I finished my first draft.
And if we were to, you know, stick to the fairly divided number of chapters, then we would have finished, because I wrote the first chapter.
Yes.
But I will write a little epilogue to go at the end, so... Yay, that's, you know, about done. Of course, this
but
is nowhere near done.
We're
going
to be talking about this
yes,
book later
yes.
on.
So we'll come back to that. We'll circle back to that, to use my favorite new expression of the moment.
I also recorded a podcast with Claire Lydon for her Lesbian Book Club podcast. So I'm not sure when that will go out, but yeah, that was, you know.
Look out for
you
that.
You can hear more about how we collaborated and stuff on there.
That should be out in a couple of weeks maybe or something.
Well, Claire has taken herself off on a proper holiday, so...
Yes.
Oh, I'm a bit jealous. Because we were on holiday, but it was not a proper holiday.
Well, maybe this summer we'll have
a proper holiday.
A
computerless holiday.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have one soon enough.
Anyway, yes.
So let's move on to the next segment.
What have we been watching on TV?
Oh,
some good British television, that's for sure.
This is a really nice thing about being back in Belgium. We have the BBC, we can watch BBC again.
Yes. Ugh. And they have had two really great shows. Well, one of them's still ongoing, the other one finished its first season. So let's talk about the one that's finished first.
The Split.
The Split with
really
Nicola Walker. So good.
I mean, it's definitely, yeah, I don't know how to translate this into English, but as we would say, a bit of a show.
a woman's show. A show for women. For a female audience. But I don't know, I think it could appeal to a wide audience.
Yeah, probably, but...
But all the main protagonists, well, most of them are women. It centers
but
around a family with a mother and her three daughters, who are all divorce lawyers. Well, not one of them isn't, but they're the core
of
the series.
One of them is Tess from Lip Service, and she gets married to a man. I said, Tess, what are you doing? This is not right. But yeah, that was my only problem with it.
It has
and the Dutch guy.
Yeah,
but that's because we're Belgian. Bloody Dutchman.
But it's a really, really great show, and we would recommend watching it.
Yeah, but we listened to the writer, Abby Morgan. She was on Desert Island Discs, and, you know, then it was extra fun to watch it because, you know, when you get an insight into the process.
Yes. And we also listened to an episode of the Women's Hour where they talked to actual divorce lawyers to see if the show was accurate.
It's not maybe not like 100% realistic, but what fiction is?
Yeah, it's fiction, and I mean, we don't know. We're not divorce lawyers, so it doesn't really affect us. I mean, maybe some things are a bit unrealistic, but it's fiction, and it's really, really well acted. And
there's gonna the last episode, I have to say, surprised me.
Yes, because it clearly, I mean,
but
they said at the end there's going to be a second season, so that's great.
Yeah.
Then the other show that we watched was A Very English Scandal.
Oh, that one is just, it's delicious. I mean, because the way they've done it is so extremely tongue-in-cheek. It's with Hugh Grant.
Yes, and Ben Whishaw.
Ben Whishaw, he's so camp. I was just not expecting it.
It's based on, you know, a story. I don't know in how far it follows the actual story, right? Or the people, I mean, in how far the actual real story is known, but it's about this British politician played by Hugh Grant who's gay, but it's in the 70s, so he can't be openly gay, and
he has an
affair. And then it gets blackmailed by Ben Whishaw. But it's funny because, you know, if you've seen Paddington 2, Ben Whishaw, that he's the voice of Paddington, and Hugh Grant is the villain in Paddington, and now they are lovers.
That is some very strange fan fiction right there.
Yes. but it's really great, and it's, you know, it's very tongue-in-cheek, and
it's very enjoyable.
And Hugh Grant is, you know, he's not the rom-com male protagonist that you know from Four Weddings and a Funeral.
He's a closeted gay MP. You know?
Yes, in his 50s, and, you know, a bit, you know, very quite mean and Machiavellian at times.
Yes, yeah, that's true. So, there's a bit of a House of Cards in there. But also what it also reminds me of is these sketches in Little Britain, like with the gay politician who says, I lost my wristwatch and it accidentally fell into the behind of someone, so I had to reach in with my penis to grab it. That's also what it reminds me
no,
of.
No, there is some of that, and that's how it's very tongue-in-cheek. And yeah.
Well, it's Russell T. Davis.
Yes. So quite camp as well at times. Anyway, watch it. Very good. And then there's a new season of Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix.
It's only 6 episodes.
We've only watched three.
Not enough Titus, but I do enjoy Kimmy. Yeah.
Yes, no, it's quite funny. But I think it's a show you have to watch several times because a lot of the jokes, you know, you only get them when you watch them just because they talk quite fast and you don't have time to absorb, you know, all the jokes before the next one comes.
Well, we still use catchphrases from
oh,
previous
yeah.
seasons.
What the foop?
What the foop? Is this soup?
Leave me alone, I'm lemonading.
I think Titus should have his own show.
Well, maybe.
Kimmy is just not that important, I think.
No, it's true that she is not the most compelling character because I love Jacqueline as well. I think she's great.
Anyway, we should move away from the television topic. Otherwise, it's going to be long, I guess.
Yeah, so weekly topic. What
plotting.
Plotting.
So, a warning ahead, I'm going to be long-winded and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to express what I'm really trying to say.
What else is new?
You can help me.
Okay.
No, I was talking to Claire about the podcast and I said, well, it's a bit long, isn't it? She said, no, it's a good length.
About the podcast or the book?
The podcast.
Ah, okay.
The podcast.
Our podcast.
Our podcast.
Okay, well, so.
The book also, the book is perfect length.
No, the book is a good length. Anyway, what would you like to say about plotting?
Well, also, talking to my esteemed co-author Claire Lydon on the podcast that I recorded with her, we talked about plotting. We talked about our process and it made me think again because I've been thinking about plotting so much because what happened with the co-written book, she did the outline. She plotted the whole thing out. I didn't have to do anything. She just presented it to me, which was amazing.
In a very well-organized Excel sheet, which I thought was great as well.
Yes. So, and then I got this and then, you know, we managed to write this book very quickly in part because we had this quite detailed outline. It was like a chapter per chapter outline, which is something I never have. Also because I was not sure I would be able to write to this outline, but I managed to stick to it like very closely, and so did she. And of course, when you have an experience like that, you want to have it again because it really sped up our process and we had all this momentum. But it was all down to this amazing outline. And then we said, you and I, we said, oh, let's write a book together. But we have to have an outline like the one we had for the Royal Romance. But did we have one?
Well, we had the first 2 chapters.
That's not an outline.
They were outlined quite in detail, but then it kind of, you know.
We did not have an outline.
The pantsing took over.
And I think for a co-write, you need it. Because what I have experienced, and I think I have a little bit of experience with it, is a very different thing to do. Co-writing and solo writing, for me, I mean, this is probably very personal, but it's very different. And I shall try to explain the difference. But first, I want to say something about why I think that plotting is so difficult for someone like me. That we went to see John Cleese the other day, and, you know, he said something that stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
He said that all creativity is, you know, it's a result of what goes on in the subconscious mind. Like, you cannot come up with, like, he took his own example. He said, we did not come up with sketches for Monty Python just by, you know, like, thinking logically. We start throwing around ideas and then, you know, we riff off one another. And it's like, it comes from the subconscious. And I think when you're plotting, you're trying to do a creative, because plotting is creative as well, you're trying to make a subconscious activity, the creative act of coming up with shit, stuff. You're trying to force it into a logical, conscious task. And I think that is what makes it so hard. It is so hard. That's why it's so hard to get past the first 2 chapters I truly believe that's why it was worth going all the way to the seaside and watching John Cleese for me.
Yes.
I mean, he was quite funny as well. But
when
you've seen Margaret Cho, nobody's really funny anymore.
No, he did have some funny jokes, and he's equally offensive to everyone, I have to say.
I wasn't bored. So
no,
that's okay. But because he did speak a little bit how, you know, the jokes came about and stuff, and that I actually found really interesting.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
So yeah, this is why I think it is important. And also, I think this is very much a difference between co-writing and solo writing. I'm going to have to consult my notes, so
that's
maybe
all right.
You have something to say.
Well, I on a personal note, I will say how it... So we had these first two chapters that were plotted out, and I think that, you know, I was supposed to do the rest of the plotting in detail, but I found it very difficult as well
it's
to do.
It's hard.
Also, it's something, it's a time-consuming activity, and I think we just didn't have the time to really devote enough hours to do the plotting before. So what we did is every day after you wrote your chapter, you know, we talked a bit about what I should write in my chapter. Even that was hard, but I need some notes, because some chapters I just knew, okay, there was one phrase, this has to happen, or this is the situation, or this is the scene, and that wasn't enough for me. It took me forever to come up with what to write, whereas if I had just, you know, a few notes of this happens and this happens, the points to, you know, to hit on in the chapter, it was much, much easier to write out for me. So I think I really need more of a plot written out before I start the actual writing than you.
Oh yeah,
that
I think
is for
it's
sure.
Also because, you know, I've been writing for a long time.
Of course, yeah, of course. You know, you have way more experience at it, and it was my first try. So
you're
yeah.
a virgin.
So, but I think, yeah, I don't know. I have a feeling if I do continue writing, I will need to take the time to actually plot out this, like what Claire did for The Royal Romance, just make a plot so that I know, I mean, I could, maybe not the whole book at the beginning, start with a few chapters and see if, you know, if the story goes that way, but I will need to every time take the time to plot out the next chapter or a few chapters to know what I need to write and which, you know, which events need to happen and what needs to, you know, where I need to end up.
But I don't think it's just a matter of taking the time, though. You need to find a way to actually do it, because you can take all the time you want. I mean, doing the plotting is still going to be very hard.
Oh, yeah, of course. But, you know, if you don't give yourself the time to do it, you're never going to do it. So
no, that's true. But
it's never going to be easy, that's for sure.
Anyway.
But it is not impossible, because obviously Claire did it for Once Upon a Princess, and it was a really well-done plot, so...
She said that she tried to plot her next book, and yeah, it didn't really work.
Maybe she had the pressure of having you to account to.
But I also asked her if she could plot all my upcoming books. Like, maybe we can work something out. But anyway, but no, actually, the point I'm also trying to make is that plotting worked well for us, but usually I'm not a plotter, but also I have my reasons for this, because I think when you co-write, like I did with Claire, like I did with you, we each write a chapter. So, I mean, naturally, so like we each wrote a character, you're going to be much more emotionally involved with the character you write. But when I write alone and I have two characters, or even if I just have one character, I feel all the emotions much more. I feel like when I co-write, I miss a part of the book, because just reading it is not the same as writing it. And it, for me, it changes something very fundamental about my process. And I mean, this is going to sound a little bit like, you know...
Pretentious.
Yeah, pretentious. That's the word.
I read the notes ahead of time. That's why I know it sounds pretentious.
I came up with a term. But what was my term again that I came up with?
Logical complexity.
Logical complexity. But I mean, that might not make sense to anyone but me. But... How can I explain it? Writing without plotting is like it's a very emotional experience, and I think that translates much more onto the page than when you write to an outline, where it's more like, okay, I need to hit this, need to hit this, and it's not like you can't put in emotion as well, because you can, but it is different than going through that process, which is for a large part for me, drawing from my subconscious. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust that I will find out. And that is, for me, like one of the most enjoyable parts of writing. And I have missed it. And I think this golf romance, I mean, for me, the first draft is finished, but it's lacking so much depth and emotion and complexity. And I think it's a result of, you know, because when I was co-writing with Claire, I had the plot. I knew exactly what was going to happen. But here, we didn't have anything. Plus, I didn't have the experience of going through all the emotions of the other character as well.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. It definitely needs more emotion. And I know that's my fault because, you know,
no,
you've said
it's
it
not
before.
Your fault.
I only have one emotion a year. So, you know, it's I'm not going to
well,
put it in
the... help. But also, my character doesn't have the usual emotion. My chapters, they don't have the emotion that I usually have. And it is a result of not going through the process of writing the entire book, I think. But, I mean, it's fine. I mean, this first draft, we'll go back. And
maybe
usually...
you will need to rewrite it completely to have it full of emotions.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Maybe I will. We'll see. But what was I going to say? Usually when I finish a first draft, I have the emotional core. I mean, I know if a book is emotional enough, and I'm going to be very honest, I mean, I have some books that don't hit the mark. I won't say which ones. But in my gut, I know if it's a good book. I know if it's up to my emotional standard. And I mean, my emotional standard is pretty high because
well, yes.
I have many emotions.
Oh, so many emotions.
I'm a very emotional person. Plus, when I write, you know, I can express all my emotions much better for, you know, my daily life. But then when that's taken away from me a little bit, it's much harder to, you know,
live.
So
let's conclude from this that maybe this will be our only co-write for the foreseeable future.
I'm definitely not going to co-write for a while. I really need to get back to doing some solo writing. I think it was a mistake to do two co-writes back to back. It was very seductive because the co-write with Claire, it went so well. Like, honestly, I could not fault it in any way. Like, it was well prepared and, you know, we showed up every day. We had this huge momentum between us. And of course, when you're experienced that, you say, oh, I want to do it again. But
maybe it was beginner's luck.
Well, no, I don't think it was beginner's luck because I think it was, you know, a lot of things coming together. Like we were both ready for it. We were both, you know, we've both been writing around the same time. You know, we're very much at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, she did the outline.
Yes.
But I think for us, plus also, you know, there's like out of respect for, you know, this person you're writing with, you show up every day and you want to keep the momentum going. But if it's your wife, it's different.
It's more easy to disrespect your wife than someone you are not married to.
Well, I don't mean disrespect, but it's much easier to say, oh, God, I don't feel like it. And I mean, you know, we live in the same house. So, you know, we know when the other one is having a rough day. Whereas when I was co-writing with Claire, you know, who lives like in London, she didn't see, if I had a bad day, I wouldn't show it to her as much. I mean, I would communicate maybe after the fact, but it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. But so let's assume then that to get back to the topic of plotting, you are never going to be a real plotter. You're going to remain a pantser.
Maybe, I think so. For the foreseeable future, it may change. Eh? Because, I mean, I hear all the time these people who have this big breakthrough, who go from pantser to plotter, and then their life changes because they can write so fast and stuff. But also, I think for a pantser, I write pretty fast already.
Yes.
I need to write any faster? I don't know.
But, and as you say, your books, you know, the big thing that people like about your books are the emotions and, you know, all the processes that people go through, the characters go through,
yeah,
and their emotional evolution, or all of that. And if you feel that you can't do that if it's plotted out, but if you have to go through the emotions and in order to write them, then yes, then maybe pantsing is the best process for you.
Yes, I think for me, pantsing, and then maybe
and thus for the readers as well.
Yes. So
but for me, I think there needs to be a little plotting, and maybe, you know, as I said, writing less emotional stuff is maybe a good idea. We'll
see. No romances.
We'll see.
I don't know if I explained my self-coined pretentious term enough, but
That's all right. If you have any questions about her pretentious term, you can contact us at harperblissandhermisses@gmail.com and ask us anything. We got an email from a listener on our email address, and I was very happy because it was the first one. Charlie, I think.
Charlie, that's the princess from...
Yes, so from thanks, Charlie, for your
princess.
Email.
She emailed you.
Yes.
How was she doing?
Oh, fine, fine. Very happy.
Okay. Maybe we should wrap
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, I think we've gone on for long enough.
Okay.
So hopefully you will see this on video.
That'll be the day.
And hear it on the podcast channels. And we will be back next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Harper Bliss and Her Misses.
You can find all the episodes and show notes at harperblissandhermisses.com.
We also have a favor to ask.
If you could rate and review the podcast wherever you listen to it, that would help other people find us.
Thank you.